good morning and welcome to the talk show today. Jim Furno is the city manager of the city of Burlington. He's joining me. And we're talking about life in a coronavirus age. It seems to be going on. I don't know if it's...
It goes on and on.
It does seem to go on and on. I think I've said something. Jim said you were a little quiet. I said, I think it's coronavirus fatigue. I think it's the fact that we seemed it for a while that we were going to be coming in and things are going to keep getting better, and then we're opening up things, and it's going to be, you know, this thing will be put into the rear view mirror and that sort of thing. But it really, all of a sudden, it's like, I think we hit a point of stagnation, or we hit the wall someplace. I don't know if that's the right word or the metaphor to use, but we're not going any. We took, as I told to Tammy McCoy, I said, Tammy, it seems like we took two steps forward, and then all of a sudden now we're taking three steps back.
Yeah.
I don't know if that has it. I think it's the fact that we've got, Iowa's surging. Iowa's one of the most surging states in the country right now. And we were doing so well, you know, and I think that was what is frustrating, perhaps. But, you know, life goes on, and I think, you know, we don't have a mask mandate yet. There may be one. If the governor finally decides to do that. But
if the governor ever does, yes.
I think there seems to be a need for that. I mean, it does seem to be. I mean, I'm not sure if it's I understand there's sort of like this the battle over personal freedom versus personal responsibility versus trying to protect others and trying to protect yourself. All of that is as I said, we've kind of come full circle. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, let's talk city business.
Well, yeah. We've had a few employees who've tested positive over the last, and it's been the last few weeks that's happened. But it also, and it just calls into making sure everyone remembers that, they're all separated. They're all in different departments. It's sort of sporadic across our system. But it's something that we weren't dealing with earlier on in the process. We didn't have people who had tested positive. So, you know, it just makes us have to make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to, following the rules that we have set up, and just make sure you're prudent. But it gets tiring doing that stuff after several months.
I think we were talking about university. I think you mentioned Notre Dame. And I mentioned...
Anytime I get a chance.
And when I mentioned Iowa and Iowa State... And nobody, we were not surging until all of a sudden a lot of college kids went back to school.
Yeah.
And when they did, they tend to congregate. And the more they congregate, the more this thing, I think it tends to spread. And it can spread pretty fast, can't it?
It may not spread for a given gathering, but then all of a sudden you'll have one gathering where, and in Notre Dame's case, it was one specific gathering where they know that there were, I think it's like 100 people got something through that. And their case number went from, I think when they came back to school, there were maybe a dozen that had tested positive. They were having 100 per day for 3 or 4 days, right? And as a consequence of that one party. And that seems to be the MO of all the spreads everywhere.
Yeah.
It may not be that every interaction has an issue, but a given one can have a very, very significant.
Oh, we had a football game. We had a high school football game here that was canceled. School delayed a week because we hit a 15%, 15.5, I think it was about a week ago. And it was Thursday. It was a Thursday. And anyway, we have seemed to go down, but the other places, Lee County, still very high. Positivity rate is interesting. And, I guess we could say college students or young adults, 49% of all positive cases in the past 2 weeks, over the past 4 weeks, 49% of the last 4 weeks, positivity are all 18 to 40.
Yeah.
So I think I don't know if that says anything dramatic or not, but I think it's you know, it's an age group that seems to feel they're somewhat invincible. I don't know if that's the right word or not either, but nobody's invincible. That's the bottom line here, isn't it?
My body's been telling me that lately. So
okay, all right. It is you know, as we look at, so you've had some positives in the city, but overall, has COVID the impact of COVID or the impact of this virus? Hasn't done much really in terms of in changing things, has it?
No. Well, I mean, as everything else was, everything shut down, you know, early. Well, a lot of things shut down for us early on, and then they gradually opened up during the months of June and into July, and we've maintained the where we were in July. I think that was the last area, with the library specifically extending their hours. We haven't had anything move backwards in terms of saying, no, we need to be shut down more.
But we haven't been expanding. You haven't been expanding.
No, but there aren't a lot of things left where we have limitations. I mean, the one for me that's the most obvious is we still have council meetings that are closed to the public just to, because the room is so limited for its ability to hold folks. I think that we're looking, and that's one that we discussed this week at our work session. We're looking to move forward with doing an alternative setup down at the auditorium in the big auditorium upstairs that allows council meetings to be held there, still be televised, because that's one of the things we're trying to figure out. How do you make sure that we don't lose the televised or online presence? But also allow more the public, if they do want to come to the meeting, to come to a meeting there. We're just, given the way that we have to do advance notices on public hearings, et cetera, that's at least a month off before we start doing that. But we are looking to make an adjustment there, just as this isn't something that's going away in the next couple of weeks. So how do we get an adjustment in the way we do business that allows public to actually come to the meeting? Because this, attending meetings online and it's not the same. And it's hard for people, and it doesn't really give the kind of input that we need.
I think the issue that I had Dr. Michael Ash from Southeastern Community College last week, and we were talking about, you know, we know when the things changed here. We know when the pandemic or whatever, when we had to shut things down in Iowa, it was on St. Patrick's Day. And all of a sudden it was kaboom, St. Patrick's Day. And there was some preliminary things directly ahead of that, obviously. But so we know when it started. But as far as predicting an end, and we've got we're talking about sports teams. I was talking about the predictions or the sports calendar, and the fact that they've got basketball practice scheduled to begin on the 11th of January, and then shortly thereafter they'll begin playing regular schedule. And they're going to try and play 22 games scheduled in there. Now the other sports that would normally be in the fall, they're going to be moved as well to the winter and to the spring. But the issue is, is there a degree of confidence that you can really pick a date somewhere in the future, or are we simply kicking the can down the road? It seems more kicking the can down the road kind of thing, if you know what I mean.
Well, I think that all that any of us can do is take a plan for what works right now, and build some plans for what you hope to see in the future, but there are a lot more unknowns. And I think that life is full of unknowns.
Really?
So why do we think that we can control what's going to happen?
Really,
and this kind of just puts into perspective that we don't have control, and that's okay.
Let me see if we've got a caller here. I don't know if this is... Good morning. You're on the air. Are you calling in for the talk show?
Yes.
And, okay, go ahead with your question for Jim Furno.
Hi. Well, my question is more of a question and concern. It's about the citywide deer hunt that's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
I live on Loiza Street, and I have Bonds Hollow behind me. And they posted some signs yesterday about licensed hunters only for the hunt. My concern with Bonds Hollow is about a half a block long, or half a block wide, excuse me, and it goes from 7th Street to Main Street, and there's residents on both sides of the hollow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I don't know, you might want to reconsider there. Kids go down there, there's a lot of people hiking down there, so I just don't know what, I don't know what all the criteria is for the hunt. But that, to me, seems like a pretty dangerous area.
Yeah, and I appreciate your comments on that. It's not, I mean, the hunt, in terms of my perspective on it, I'm not, it's not something that means a whole lot to me. The council seems very in favor of having the hunts occur. As they did that, they had a knowledge of some of these areas. I mean, they're in the parks. They are posted for areas. There are only certain individuals who are allowed, who have gone through a class, and you're essentially assigned a spot that you work with. But anyone who has concerns about how that program is working, I would suggest having a call to Major Klein down at the police department, because it's being coordinated through there. I don't even know the rules really on how that's being done.
Is this bow hunting exclusively?
Yes, it is.
I believe it is, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, and you have to be. People had to pre-qualify, so they had to go through a class to show that they could actually shoot.
Okay.
They were, as the spots are being lined out for where someone can hunt, there are only a certain number of people that are given a given spot, and you can't. It's not a free rein for people to do that. They have to go through this process and be permitted to do it. That doesn't stop your overall concern in terms of the potential for things to come up. But the DNR, our local program is being set up through the same process that the Department of Natural Resources uses on a statewide basis for other areas that are similar. They don't see a history of there being problems with the concern for safety of people. It hasn't come up as being something that has happened where an accident has occurred with someone getting hit. But that being said, it still can happen.
The hollow goes down. It's deep under the hills. But, you know, if you're shooting up or shooting, you know, and you miss, you're going into a house or.
Yep.
If I see Mr. Klein, I will.
Yes, yeah, and I think Officer Stern is involved with that too. So those would be individuals that you can have a contact with, and just to get an idea and what your degree of comfort is with what's going on.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you for calling in today.
Yep.
What is the dates on that? Do you know?
I don't even know. I think it's around the 15th or so that it starts, September 15th, and I don't even know how long that goes. So again, Eric. Down in the development department, Eric Tisland would have a decent idea on being able to pull up maps for folks, but really down in the police department is where the lion's share of the coordination of this has gone on.
Okay. We're going to take a break. Jim Furno is our guest, 754-1490. If you've got a question for Jim, we're going to be back right after this.
If you're looking for complete coverage of local, state, regional, and national high school, college, and professional sports, tune in to Fox Sports 104.5 and 1360 to Dave O'Hara Sports every Monday through Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. If you want to listen to archived episodes or interviews of specific players, coaches, reporters, and broadcasters, or have comments or questions for the show, go to twitter.com @Dave O'Hara Sports or facebook.com/Dave O'Hara Sports.
At Standard of Beaverdale, they're trying to think ahead and stay on top of what the next need will be. If you've tried to buy toilet paper, a freezer, swimming pool, or canning supplies this year, you understand the frustration of getting to the store to find out they're all sold out. Stay ahead of the curve on this one and come out to Standard for their 12 Days of Christmas sale. That's right, Christmas. This is a pre-season preview of a great selection of Christmas trees. Stop out to Standard to find trees of every shape and size, from small tabletop trees to 7.5-foot towering trees. You'll find pre-lit trees and unlighted trees, green trees, and snow-flocked white trees, all at a huge discount. Buy a 4.5-foot pine tree pre-lit with clear lights, regularly $72.99 for just $19.99. Or select a 7.5-foot snowy pine pre-lit with clear lights, regularly $200, yours just $74.99. Christmas will be here before you know it. Buy your tree early and save big at Standard of Beaverdale, now through September 5th.
Having dry skin is a struggle. Turns out, my body wash was the problem. So I tried new Olay skincare-inspired body wash with vitamin C, collagen, and hyaluronic acid, which improves skin 3 times better versus the leading body wash after 14 days based on clinical moisture retention. And now helps stop dry skin before it starts with new Olay Rinse Off Body Conditioner. Find new Olay skincare-inspired body wash online or in stores. Try Olay Body today.
Right now, Allstate has almost as many ways to save as there are types of music. Save for being a new customer. Save more for adding DriveWise. And save even more for driving safely. Visit Allstate.com or contact your local agent to get a quote. Find out how much you can save today. Allstate. Now that should be music to your ears.
Not available in every state. New customer savings based on early signing discount. DriveWise is an optional feature. Savings vary based on how you buy. Subject to terms and conditions. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Maybe it's the spacious feel of the vaulted ceiling or the image of friends having room to mingle in the open floor plan. Maybe it's the thought of holiday cooking with the family in the large kitchen with granite countertops and a walk-in pantry. Everyone sees something different when they walk into a brand new Westfield condo. One thing everyone I take inside sees is themselves enjoying maintenance-free living in a beautiful Westfield condo built by Midwest Realty Group. Check us out on Facebook or online at MidwestRealtyGroupInc.com. Dream it, build it, live it.
Good morning. I'm Jim Furno is our guest today. We're talking about city business. And I'm looking at a picture of, a river rat. Okay.
We're just talking about all the different types of animals that we see in town.
I see animals.
Besides deer.
Yeah, it's amazing. I see a lot of raccoons. I see a lot of, I don't know what, they seem to be. There seems to be like a lot of just fuzzy, furry things that are running from one. They're in the sewers, or they're someplace, and they'll run and they'll get into one, or they go into the into a bush or something like that when I'm coming by. But they seem to be. It's almost like they've just gotten used to living here and being and the deer seem to be tame and. And they rarely move when you go by them anymore. I'm not even sure how this whole it's like you guys, you know, I'll bet if when somebody's shooting at you, when somebody's firing a bow at you, you probably will start moving a little faster, I would guess.
They talked about how deer or as DNR, the representative from the Department of Natural Resources came and talked about the deer hunting program. They talked about how as time goes on, they'll adjust. But the first year or two, they will they don't really realize what's going on with the hunt. But they adjust and figure that out over time and start to remember that it's not just as relaxed as it has been in the past.
Okay. Okay. Anyway, we're talking about things that have been, I guess.
I don't know if they track calendar, though, so he didn't answer that question for me. So.
You know, I don't know. I have no, trying to figure out how many animals we have that are in the city that are the wild animals. But I guess that's true in about every city, isn't it, Jim, anymore? Isn't it right?
Yeah, it is.
Anyway, we're talking about things. Okay, looking back, summer's over, school's back in session. The Recplex, you had some tournaments at the Recplex. I don't know, but it was obviously a scaled back season, wasn't it?
Well, yes and no. We didn't the Recplex. Well, the indoor facility, which is a private, the way that everything getting shut down occurred, they lost a little bit at the tail end of their
season,
and we lost a few at the very beginning of our season. Our May events, we have had a couple of major ones that we didn't have that did not occur. But once we hit June, all of our weekends were busy. The number of teams involved was pretty close to what it's been in the past.
Okay.
I would say that who the teams were different. And the reason that we were able to keep the June month, you know, really full, those were all softball baseball tournaments.
It looked to me like softball and baseball. I didn't see a lot of soccer.
It wasn't allowed to start until August.
Okay.
Or closer to August. So, I don't know what our numbers have been so far. I haven't really talked to Eric, about where our numbers have been with the fall tournaments, but I imagine that it's fairly similar to what we saw with, through the spring, that, the numbers stayed pretty even. We lost a good full month. The numbers stayed pretty even, but there are teams that weren't necessarily staying overnight in the community, the same way that was happening in previous tournaments.
Okay.
So there, the hotel usage was down. You can look at July. Looks like, occupancy for our community for hotels, in July was about 30% lower than last year. So that's an area, that's not all, tournaments that does
right.
that. That's other type travel as well. But that's an area that people aren't comfortable doing that type or dynamic of a trip as much as what used to be the case.
Traveling and staying overnight is a different thing.
Seeing teams that are involved but are doing, my imagination is that you have people aren't traveling quite as far to go to tournaments such as this. So we're getting a different draw, a different group of teams that are involved. Still a lot of the same teams, but a little bit different mix. Golf course is an area that has been significantly impacted as well, but really it's just been a change of what the usage has been. We've had fewer tournaments go on out there this summer, but the daily use has gone up significantly, and was talking, I think that this last weekend we might have had one of our highest daily usages over the last 3 or 4 years occur. So that's an area that we changed what was going on, but we still ended up pretty much where we normally or would have ended up otherwise.
So but in terms of from a revenue standpoint, hotel motel is down. Recplex is down a bit. Is that right?
So Recplex was down 20,000 maybe on the year from what it would have otherwise been net.
Hotel motel is down significantly.
Hotel motel is down significantly. Now we've been able to offset some of that. Our local option sales tax is actually, we ended the year the same as what we would have otherwise. They don't make adjustments really those are funds that flow through the state, and they did not change them a penny, from what we would have otherwise gotten. But as we come into the new year, we're actually looking at our projections being about 5% higher, for the new year, for local option sales tax. And I've seen, as I've gotten reports from hearing what's going on across the state, there are communities that are up 7%. There are some that are down a few percent. So shopping overall, retail shopping overall is not a whole lot different than what it was previously. I mean, we're up higher for what they're collecting a tax on. But I would say that similar to what's happened with our golf course, where we have seen the change from the groups to now individuals, the dynamics of where retail sales are occurring, what people are spending money on, those have changed significantly.
We've seen home improvement and garden centers and people working on houses and that sort of thing. That's been surging. It's been surging high.
But that also means that there are other areas that are lower than what they were previously.
But
so.
So it's a, and I, you know, movie theaters, I've seen the movie theaters, they're running classic movies from the past, but, you know.
It's not the same.
It's not the same, and I think people are right now, particularly with things surging, I think they're reluctant to go out as much as they were. I think there was sort of a loosening as things were loosening up. Now it seems like we're tightening back up a bit. I don't know if that's the right way to put it. On a national basis,
I've seen some retail sales surveys that have been done, and those are trends that are national. That's not an Iowa thing specific. People don't want to travel. The airplane usage is down now, and people are answering surveys that they don't plan on seeing their airplane travel, their hotel stays, those types of things return to normal until at least next year, the majority. Now, there are others who think it's a month or two off, but the majority of folks are building into their expectations not returning to normal till next year.
Well, I think that, the real question is, how much into next year do we go before we get back to, quote-unquote, a feeling of safety, a feeling of, I guess, relaxation, a feeling of normalcy. I'm not sure if normalcy, I'm not even sure where normalcy came out. I think it's a fake word, but it's another story that it's back to normal. I don't know if we ever will. I mean, it's going to take a lot longer for us to get back to normal than it is to get to close to normal. And that's really where we're trying to get to right now, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I think as a society, yeah, that's true. You know, for the city, you know, some of the things that we look at, we had, not knowing where things were going, we had delayed several things. Most of those were now, we delayed some capital purchases, saying we need to hold off on things. We're at a point now where we're starting to say, well, let's go ahead and move forward with them. We do recognize our hotel motel tax, which funds a lot of our stuff, is significantly down. But at least for this year, we're looking at local option sales tax being up for now. You know, we know that some of that was really enhanced by the CARES Act. I mean, you had $600 a month enhanced unemployment benefits that went through the end of July. That's gone now.
Yeah.
And some, I don't even know where Iowa is on the $300 one. There's some discussion about the Senate maybe putting forward a proposal.
I don't believe anything has even occurred in any of the states as of yet on the
it wasn't allowed. It wasn't going to go into place until September.
Right.
We lost that household income is now not present. There's also the, you know, the immediate relief that was given. I mean, we received $1,200 per person?
Something like that, yeah.
Those were things that really spurred sales tax. They really helped to offset what might potentially otherwise be lost. Those are gone, so I don't know what the long-term impact is there.
There is talk, then, and there is a fair amount of at least reasonable consensus that when Congress returns after Labor Day, that they will, at least there's talk that that obviously,
some of those might happen.
The executive actions that are out there seem to be they're under basically dispute right now because of the nature of the fact that Congress is the body that has the responsibility for allocating funds and taxing and that sort of thing. But you know what? We're going to find out more as we move along, but we're going to take a break for news. We've got Jim Furno with us. Phone lines are open, 754-1490. We'll find out about city projects. We'll find out about a few other city things that are underway. Property taxes, by the way, coming up due shortly. I guess you can look at your own property tax bill and see where you ended up. And we'll talk about those and more right after this.
News now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
News brought to you by Kelly O'Shea's Pub and Grill, featuring a full menu including seafood, steaks, chops, pub sandwiches, whole catfish, and appetizers, as well as nightly specials. Come play at Kelly O'Shea's.
And now the latest from the KBUR Newsroom, I'm Colin Letty. Multiple residents in Burlington's North Hill neighborhood had found their cars vandalized Monday morning. The Hawkeye reports that Burlington police responded to 10 different reports of criminal mischief in the 800 block of 5th and 6th Streets. Vandals caused thousands in damages by either smashing car windows or slashing tires. Authorities are continuing to investigate these incidents and ask anyone with information on the vandalism to contact the Burlington Police Department. The Burlington Community School District's Food Service Department will be providing meals for students who aren't at school in person. Curbside meals will be available at multiple locations from 11:30 a.m. until 1 p.m. Monday through Thursday. Meals can be picked up at any of the five locations, including Blackhawk, Grimes, Sunnydale, North Hill, and Edward Stone schools. The meals will go on the student's meal account just as if they were in school. Iowa Workforce Development says the unemployment tax rates paid by businesses will stay the same in 2021. Dar Danielson of Radio Iowa reports.
Businesses pay unemployment taxes into a trust fund so unemployment benefits can be paid out, and there was some question where the increase in unemployment brought on by the pandemic would cost them more. IWD says the governor's put $490 million of federal coronavirus relief money into the pool, and that will allow the rate to stay the same in 2021. IWD required to set the new unemployment tax rate each year based on the trust fund balance at the end of the fiscal year on June 30th.
Federal officials plan to ship rapid coronavirus tests to assisted living facilities, moving to fill a testing gap for older adults who don't need the constant attention of a nursing home. Health and Human Services Assistant Secretary for Health Brent Gearer said assisted living facilities will be followed by senior daycare centers and home and health agencies in getting the tests. The tests will come from a supply of 150 million ordered from test maker Abbott Laboratories. Abbott's rapid test, the size of a credit card, is the first that doesn't require specialty computer equipment to process. From the KBOR Newsroom, I'm Colin Letty.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President Trump visits Wilmington, North Carolina today for an event marking 75 years since Japan signed surrender in World War II. Fox's Jeff Manasso was there yesterday for the president's visit to Kenosha, Wisconsin.
It was a firsthand look at destruction in Kenosha, burned out and looted businesses.
Kenosha has been ravaged by anti-police and anti-American riots.
President Trump greeted by hundreds of supporters and protesters during his visit, though despite warnings from state Democrats that the president's visit would spark more violence, that didn't happen.
The president and his doctor deny it was a series of mini strokes that sent the president to the hospital last year. White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows tells Fox that's just another attack from the left.
They'll stop at nothing, including mini strokes, but I can tell you, not only is he healthy, but he works me off of my feet.
America's listening to Fox News.
The weather outside is beautiful, and that means it's patio season. It's time for sun, fun, and exceptional food and drinks, only at Kelly O'Shea's. Dine in for fresh summer delights, or use their carry-out and curbside pickup options available on Wednesday, Thursdays, and Fridays to keep you warm and happy during the day's end. Check out their menu at Kelly O'Shea's Pub's Facebook page to see what's to offer. Not your average pub, not the average way. Come play at Kelly O'Shea's.
Weather now. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Mostly sunny skies, a high this afternoon, 85 degrees, west winds at 5 to 10. Tonight mostly clear, a low down to 61. Should be sunny and breezy Thursday with a high to 86, southwest winds 10 to 20, becoming northwest, gusting to 25. Clear Thursday night, look for a low down to 53, sunny Friday, a high of 82. Sunny Saturday, 85, and partly sunny Sunday, 30% chance of showers, a high of 87. Right now, we've got a mostly sunny sky, 70 degrees.
I'm Peter Schachnow, CNBC. Stocks are off to a positive start despite a weaker-than-expected ADP jobs report. That widely followed report on private sector employment showed that the U.S. economy added 428,000 new jobs last month, less than half of what economists had been predicting. That comes ahead of the initial jobless claims report tomorrow and the government's monthly jobs report, which is due out on Friday morning. Shares of retailer Macy's are on the rise this morning. Macy's did report a quarterly loss of 81 cents per share, but that was less than half the size of the loss that Wall Street had been anticipating. Another stock winner this morning is Peloton. It's moving higher after J.P. Morgan called it a top pick, noting the surge in demand for its exercise equipment amid the pandemic. J.P. Morgan, however, did note the difficulty Peloton has had with keeping up with demand. And another business benefiting from families spending more time at home, Lego, with the toy maker reporting a 14% jump in sales for the first half of the year. Peter Shacknow.
Timeshare owners, looking for a safe end to your timeshare ownership? Be careful. Every year, timeshare owners lose millions of dollars by hiring the wrong exit company. I'm Gordon Newton, author of The Consumer's Guide to Timeshare Exit and president of Newton Group. Our data shows that one in four timeshare owners who tried ending their ownership hired the wrong exit company, costing them thousands of dollars and years of heartache. You can get the help you need, but who you choose to help you end your ownership matters most. Whether you're looking to end your timeshare ownership or you hired the wrong exit company and are looking to recoup lost money, Newton Group can help. Newton Group is the number one trusted name in timeshare exit, serving thousands for over 15 years. A-plus rated at the Better Business Bureau. Finalist for Torch Award for Ethics. Five-star reviews at Google, Trustpilot, and the BBB. Call Newton today at 888-99-NEWTON for your free, no-obligation consultation and a free copy of The Consumer's Guide. That's 888-99-NEWTON or 99newton.com.
Calling all girls in 3rd through 6th grade, the Burlington Area YMCA is offering another season of Girls on the Run. This 8-week program is designed to inspire girls of all abilities to recognize and embrace their inner strength. Lessons emphasize the important connection between physical and emotional health. At the end of the program, the girls participate in a 5K, which provides a tangible sense of accomplishment, setting a confident and goal-oriented mindset into motion. Register at the Y by September 4th or online at www.burlingtony.org. Come join the fun with Girls on the Run.
Businesses are always looking for ways to stay in front of their customers. Have you thought about the number of additional impressions you could make on potential customers just by putting your business name on your car? Hi, this is Tyler Sherwood with the Sherwood Company. Adding a sign to your company or personal vehicle allows you to have a rolling ad for your business all year long. From a full-color wrap to a simple logo on the door, Sherwood Company's professional designers and installers have you covered. Maybe you yourself have seen some of the rolling ads professionally installed by the Sherwood Company. The Furniture Store, Standard of Beaverdale, Mediapolis Telephone Company, and Schottenkirk all have trusted the Sherwood Company to bring their brand identity onto the open road. Using this same technology, Sherwood Company can wrap almost anything you can think of. We've wrapped a pool table and even a prosthetic leg. Have an idea of something cool you want to do? Give us a call at the Sherwood Company.
First impressions last. Time to call Sherwood Company.
Everything you need to know and more on AM and FM. All your favorite programs and personalities with a cleaner, clearer signal and a larger nighttime coverage area. News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
Jim Furno is our guest today. City business is the topic today. Our phone lines are open at 754-1490. It did talk about the deer hunting bow season that's going to be coming up in September. We've been talking.
We're in September.
We're in September. I know. Is it already? It just feels like it's been, you know, it's been either the fastest summer or the slowest summer that I can ever remember. It's been one of those that time just seems to be in suspended animation. I'm not sure what it is, but. City projects, they've continued on. There's been a lot of action and a lot of streets resurfaced in North Hill. You've got more street resurfacing projects going
Central
on.
Central project is still underway, and it's moved through that very well. I haven't even been out towards the hospital to see how the, road smoothing has gone out there.
You know, I tried to find the new road. I was on my bike trying to find the new road. I'm not sure.
The one that we opened?
The one that you opened. I'm not
even
sure.
That's out by the Recplex. So
well, I went by the Recplex and I went around it and I couldn't find it.
Broadway, you know, sort of was dead ended into the Recplex. So it extends a little bit farther to the south and then bends to the left.
Okay.
And goes over to, is that West Burlington then?
Yeah, it is.
I'm bad with street names.
I was looking for it and I didn't find it, but I'm guessing it was probably because I just used to taking a different route. But
yeah,
that's
we did that
story.
Street reopening here a month and a half ago or so. The parking lot downtown that we're constructing is the dirt's been moved in and they're starting to make progress with that. The Locust Basin for our sewer separation is probably the largest dollar amount project that we have going on right now. think that's in the neighborhood of 7 million overall.
We're at the lowest level, by the way, on the river we've been in the last 2 years.
Yeah, so the Locust Basin project for sewer separation is well over halfway, and I don't know that we'll get finished up yet this fall or not. I kind of have a suspicion that they might not get everything done on that.
When does the flood mitigation?
The next set of flood mitigation is actually a project that we presented bids to the council at the work session, and they'll take action to approve the low bid from S&G Construction for that next phase. And I'd love to see that get started very quickly when you got a river level that is the most cooperative that we've had in a couple of years for it to occur. But that's one that is going to end up being significantly more expensive than what we had originally budgeted for, and we'll probably have to make some adjustments to our future.
That was determined by what local option sales tax revenue, wasn't it?
That one is backed by this one specifically. We have tax increment financing backing, but it is all the overall project has a $26 million coming in. I don't know that we'll get the full $26 million, but hopefully we do, of the state's portion of increased sales taxes from their base year back in 2016. So anything that's over that base is allowed to come to us. Now, then there's a specific allocation by year. So we can only get, even if they grow and have $2 million, for example, of increased value or increased collections this current year, we only get $800,000 towards that project, because that's what we were allocated for this specific year.
I did notice on my property tax bill that my city property taxes were actually down a little bit. I thought they'd be high. At least the city portion seemed to be okay. Maybe it was level.
We were level.
But the school portion was higher.
Yeah, I don't really pay attention to the other portions. Close to 40% of the overall property tax mix.
I believe, yes. I had a fairly mild increase, and it was all pretty much on schools.
Yeah, so I don't track what they do on theirs. I mean, I have enough time worrying about the city's portion.
I only track it when I open up the bill.
Yeah.
But that's another story. We have had... as you said, most of the projects, the Tiger Grant are all of these grants and these things that we talked about, are they still all underway?
The Tiger Grant is a project that, it's federal funds. We were initially awarded that in, was it 2018?
Yeah.
2017, I don't know. We have had council actions go on with the current council consideration that's going on is for the engineering services for construction oversight portion of the Tiger funds. We're trying to have those, I think that's October that those go out to bid. There'll be two separate contracts for the construction work, one for the Main and Jefferson Street corridors and the other for the riverfront work that's being funded through Tiger. We may see, we'll see, hopefully, after we go out to bid and get bids back and can award bids in the November-ish timeframe, see work begin in the early spring on Main Street.
Okay. So I think that the project, actually the old police station, that project, that was delayed, I know, for some
time. So we had an agreement there for the, merge, to purchase that building. They own the building adjacent to it. They were looking for some state funds to help them with their overall project. They did not get awarded those state funds.
Okay.
Now, in the initial funding announcement, they did not get awarded those funds. Now, there is a potential that project may still happen, but it's going to be different than what was originally done. And actually, we have a phone call this afternoon with them and with our bonding attorney to see how we can take the agreement that we currently have on the development agreement that we currently have with them on that project and make it work with the new structure. I mean, I think they have the potential to get some funding from the state now, but it's different than what they originally applied for. So now we have to have a conversation with them about how, based off of that, where are they at? What can we do to move forward with looking at a project still occurring here? So that's one that we still have. Hopefully that's able to still move forward with the existing agreement with some adjustments. But, you know, there's still interest in it, even though they weren't initially successful on their state funding.
It's been a strange year. We're going to take another break. We'll be back with more Jim Furno right after this.
Friday night is football night on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR. This Friday, join Scott Mason and John Flaherty as Burlington travels to Devonport North. Brought to you by Rhinesmith's Flooring America, Bob Dodds Insurance, Kurt Massner Family Dentistry, Pizza Wrench, the Danville State Savings Bank, Courtesy Door, Ritter's Garden Center, and Standard of Beaverdale. BHS Football, 7 p.m. Friday night on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR and KBUR.com.
It's the hottest day of the year. You're out mowing your yard, sweat running into your eyes, down your back. Time to take a break. You walk into your home, feels cool and fresh. Or does it? Hi, this is Bob Jern from Jern's Heating and Air Conditioning. Now's the time to think air conditioning. If that old unit was acting up last year, let's get a new high-efficiency unit installed. That way, when the temperatures hit 98 degrees, you'll be enjoying the cool comfort of your new Amana air conditioner. Just needing a tune-up? Don't end up waiting your turn for service this summer. Give us a call now. No matter what brand you have, we'll make any adjustments you need to make sure your home stays at the consistent temperature you want. For all your cooling and heating needs, give us a call today. Jern's Heating and Air Conditioning, your Amana dealer, serving Southeast Iowa and West Central Illinois, with 24-hour service and never an overtime charge.
It may just be your lucky day. Come out and play at Catfish Bank Casino during the Luck of the Draw promotion going on now. One entry from every 50 points earned on your Players Club card. Each Friday and Saturday in September at 7 and 8 p.m., three winners will be picked to draw a poker hand. Make up your hand of five cards from a deck of 20 cards. All 10s are aces. You could win up to $1,500 cash or a free play prize of $100 to $1,000. See Player Services for details. Come out and play and live lucky at Catfish Bank Casino.
This is the Sean Hannity Show.
Anthony Fauci, loved by the liberal media whenever he says anything that might be perceived as, well, he's contradicting the president. Yeah, he said there is no reason at all that Americans can't vote in person for the 2020 presidential election as long as voters follow proper social distancing guidelines amid the coronavirus pandemic. If it's carefully done according to guidelines, there's no reason that I can see why that not be the case.
Sean Hannity, afternoons from 2 to 5 on News Radio 99.3 and 1490 KBUR.
And welcome back on the talk show today. Jim Furno, we're down to the last couple of minutes of the show. We've got, it's been a strange year. It's been a strange summer. It's been hopefully some good news will be coming out in the fall. We've got property taxes that are due. The city taxes held firm. And we're not even going to try and tackle what potential taxes are going to be in the next year.
As we're closing up here, our general fund for the fiscal year we just completed went through some wild travails, wondering what money was going to come through. But we're going to end up pretty close to right on budget. We'll have a positive cash flow in the general fund. Hotel motel is going to be way down.
Yeah.
But that being said, we didn't use funds that we normally would transfer to the general fund out of hotel motel. We didn't transfer it all because we knew that it couldn't afford it to try to offset some of this.
Road use taxes are certainly down.
Road use tax, actually, we finished up from the previous year.
Oh, really?
We probably would have finished a little bit more up absent the pandemic. And this year, you know, we're seeing estimates now that the state continues to adjust those every month. Their estimate for the current year, June 30th to next July 1, is that we may see an overall decline of 8% for road use tax funding from what we would have otherwise seen, which is less than what they were saying before. It had been in the 12 to 14% range. And for comparison's sakes, that's the 8% is about maybe 250,000.
I just hope for a mild winter and an end to the coronavirus if we possibly can. But you know, I guess
and a happy new year. Okay.
We really don't. What we don't know is a lot more than what we know, and that seems to be the case. Jim, what's next up? Is this a work session?
Regular meeting, and that's regular next meeting. Week, not on Monday. It's on Tuesday with Labor Day.
Okay. Have a great month. Jim Furno, thanks for being with us.